Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Thanks for listening to the show. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're not sure how, go to paulwinkler.com/how to subscribe. All one word, how to subscribe, or click on the link in the show note.
Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
Andy, welcome. This is the Investor Coaching Show, and I am Paul Winkler. And she is Arlene Brown. Hey, how you doing?
I am good. I'm happier today.
Okay, so what?
Well, you know, I'm happy.
You're always happy, though.
So well, I'm happy today because, you know, the BBB, the...
the Better Business Bureau.
No, the Biden, you know.
BBB is...
the Bach, whatever is that.
Bach, Beethoven, yeah. And... and Bronx.
It was slashed.
I had to think of a third.
Was slashed.
That wasn't bad, was it? I mean, okay, I kind of got that.
That wasn't bad. Don't ask me.
No, thanks, Leviticus.
Was slashed, right?
What? The budget was that B word.
Imagine that, yeah.
That B word, okay.
A small one.
So some of the things that they're doing in there, the infrastructure bill, you know, they basically voted to put this thing, $1 trillion package.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aging roads. If we could just do about something about our aging.
That would be really good.
Let's
take the positive first.
Okay, so aging roads. Okay. Bridges. Ports. Easing transportation bottlenecks is another one. Now, they're going to create bottlenecks way before they ease them. You know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm looking at that and going, whoa, how long are we going to be waiting? Here's what I want. So they got...
Tell me what you want, Paul.
I want that either the Black Fly, because that's cool, that or the Jetson. And then you don't have to worry about the traffic anymore. Mm-mm. They really really need to figure out the logistics of getting those things, because have you seen that? I don't know if you've seen that, Arlene, but basically what it is, it's the Jetson. I mean, George Jetson,
uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't go into a suitcase, but it's open air, the one I saw, whereas the Black Fly is a closed kind of an airplane. It's ultralight, so you don't need a license to fly the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have four engines on the Jetson, as I recall, and I think there are six of them on the Black Fly. Electric flies 20 miles, the Jetson one, 20, I think it's 20 miles. The other one, the Black Fly, is like 30 miles or something like that. So you get a decent amount of range, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah, but I still would have range anxiety with just 30 miles.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you just land and you go, well, hi, guys. That wasn't where I planned on going, but... So, I think it'd be neat to be able to do that. And then the thing is being able to fly over the other people's property, you know, that type of thing, the logistical issues of, you'd probably fly over roadways, I would think, 5G, and then you would have the communications between the vehicles so they don't run into each other. But I think, you know, they're looking at, you know, putting in trains. That's another thing, is fixing up the transit system.
I thought they were just fixing Amtrak.
The Amtrak too. Yeah, well, Amtrak. I mean, look at that. You know, they have a lot of track that they've got to work on there.
Yeah.
And then cars, public transit, bicycle paths. And I think that's cool. Now, if you have ever been, I've been over in the Netherlands, and I will never forget going over. Now, it's flat over there. That's one of the things they've got over us, is they've got flat space forever. And it's like three bicycles per person, I believe. I think it's like three bicycles per person, because that's what everybody gets around on. And then I remember back, this is 20 years ago that I was over there, and they had cars that were basically the size of a bicycle. I mean, they were tiny, tiny, you know, so they had small cars before small cars were cool. But they're looking at light rail extensions and redesigning intersections and I can imagine they're probably going to have roundabouts. My wife will Jill drive her bananas because she hates those things. But they're, you know, looking at a lot more congestion coming up if they do this. And I guess they're still thinking about
short term.
Well, yeah.
The congestions.
Well, yeah, that's what they say, right? if you ever grew up in New York, no, I'm telling you, short term is never short term. It always, it's like eternally under construction. So, you know, that I think is going to be, I think, you know, airports. I mean, yeah, I was interested to find that we were way the heck behind regarding airports. We're number 25. Our airports are number 25 in global rankings. You know, so we're not doing so well here in America, apparently. And I don't know what the improvements are, but apparently it's way better over there for some reason. And you know, they're actually, you know, pushing the electric vehicle. I think that is going to be you know, you wonder about that just simply because of the emissions of producing what it takes to actually produce electricity. I think that's going to be an issue right there. So I don't know what... it'll be interesting to see if it comes through.
Charging stations.
Yeah, charging station, more rapid charging station. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. We'll keep up. But you're happy about that.
No, but
that it was smaller than you thought it was going to be.
Well, what I am happy more is they removed the threat about the Roth conversions. Okay, it's still.
Okay.
Yeah.
But isn't that a separate deal though?
They said it's already removed.
So Roth conversions.
It's still there. I mean, there's no threat anymore.
You still have the ability. Okay.
Yes.
How about
basis?
Okay. Basis gone.
They removed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good because mm-hmm. that. Okay. So that, for those of you that don't know what that is, you buy something for, you know, you buy a portfolio of a stocks, and let's say it's $100,000 and it grows to $700,000, or for a lot of people, real estate's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That, you know, you go and inherit a piece of real estate, and then all of a sudden you have to sell it because, you know, then when you have to sell it for some reason, then all of a sudden if it's sold after somebody dies, after you've inherited a death, then you don't have any taxes and you don't have to go back and try to track all that junk.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, how much did they pay for it? Uh-huh. What did they put into it? What improvements did they make on it? What are the things that, you know, that you have to go back and search for that you're just not going to find, mm-hmm. Or you're going to have a hard time finding it. And then it's just the hassle of all of that. And then, you know, of course, the issue with taxes on, you know, in investment accounts and things like that.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's also the long-term capital gains.
Yeah.
Stays the same.
So that's good. Other thing, how about backdoor Roth conversions? Are they still going to hang on to that? It's still seeming to be there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think that they're going to come back and try to sneak that in later?
Well, they could always. I mean, but it's really removed from the bill. That's what they said.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Now, except that the income tax return remained the same, mm-hmm. except for those whose income is $10 million. So that's additional 5%.
Okay. So what's happening? 5%.
Additional 5%.
So basically, the people that are wealthy that are provide a lot of jobs, they're just basically going to leave the country, and then they're going to.
Well,
avoid the taxes, or they're going to change the nature of their income, or
there's a lot of loopholes that they can use.
I think that's the thing that gets me is that you're just imagining that somehow these people are not going to adapt and adjust and do something different.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see how that happens. I think about Warren Buffett being on TV and talking about all the ways that he avoided everything that was put upon him.
There you go. Uh huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those who have 25 million, additional 3%.
Okay, so I don't see that happening. But anyway, that'll be interesting to see where that end up, yeah, mm-hmm. where that lands.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll take that small win.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Okay. So I know Social Security is going to be a big issue You know, how do we save Social Security is going to be a huge issue right now.
They did not talk about that.
No, but I did see something that in the in Market Watch talking about that. You know, Social Security, of course, those of you that don't know what's going on there, know that with Social Security, what you have happening is once you get to like 2034 or something like that, nobody can quite figure it out. They say that you're going to be at 21, 22, 25 percent lower benefits than you've got right now. So people are it's all over the place.
Yeah, 22%.
Well, it's just depending on what day you look at the data is really what it gets down to. But there was an interesting article about that, and they were talking about how you have this $2 trillion Build Back Better tax infrastructure bill.
The BBB.
Now, they called it that. She said that, you know, the writer said, or Brett, or excuse me, he actually says that he found most of it as about as boring as the Kardashians. He says, we're going to have to find the money for this thing. Okay, so what is it going to cost? What's the cost or the price tag for fixing Social Security? $20 trillion. And I was like, whoa, wow, that's a pretty big number. Now they're talking about $2 trillion here, $20 trillion on Social Security. And said,
that's until 2095.
It is.
We'll be dead by now.
Arlene, I'm taking care of myself. You know, you can speak for yourself on that one. It's gonna be like a friend of mine's song, you know, prop me up beside the jukebox, and that's the way it's gonna be. But anyway, so what they're looking at here is $20 trillion to plug the hole. And yes, that is a scary number. But yes, you are so right in saying that that is a long-term number. Social Security is going to be vital to all but the richest retirees, not only besides the size of the checks, but because they constitute inflation-protected income annuity, which is where you can't get anything like that anyplace else. And that is true. I'd like to make a point about that. That is one of the huge flaws of annuities. You know, I got to pick on them. There's one of the huge flaws. There's no inflation protection. And you look at the difference in your paycheck, you know, 20, 30 years later, and what you're going to need. You might be needing 10 times as much money per year in the future to buy whatever the paycheck is that you're getting right now. So, you know, you look at it, not having any kind of inflation protection, that's a problem. You're about to say something. Go.
Well, no, it's that. Can you imagine you being in an annuity making just, there was actually annuities like 20 years annuity that was only making about 1%. Okay. Can you imagine and not having 5.49?
Right.
You're missing the 5.49 COLA adjustment.
Now you're actually talking. You're bringing up something really good here, Arlene, because the products being sold right now are based on current interest rates.
That's
they are set up on whatever the actuarial tables say that they got to price these things based on current interest rates.
Yeah.
So if you look at this and you go, okay, so you know, if I go and buy this thing and I trigger this thing and I annuitize it, in other words, I have the insurance company pay me an income for life, or as a friend of mine couldn't believe that the guy from the huge mutual fund company that starts with an F said this. They actually said, oh, we can sell you a policy, an insurance policy to guarantee you an income. And my wife's like going, no, don't do it. And, you know, in essence, if you buy an annuity right now, you are looking at current interest rates at literally 30-year bonds, but you're actually not even using 30-year rates. You're using more like 10-year rates at 1%. And that's basically what you've got. If you get out there and we start to see higher inflation rates because of all of this spending right here that we're talking about, you're in a heap bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in a heap bit of trouble if that happens. Okay, so Social Security vital. Plan may hit technical insolvency in as little as 10 years, depending on what day you look at the data. The most recent numbers say Uncle Sam needs about $20 trillion to fill the gap for the next 75 years. Okay, so what can we do about this? Well, they say, where are we going to find another $20 trillion? We're sitting there, you know, batting our heads against the wall over $2 trillion. What are we going to do? Said, well, here's the thing. You got this. Here's the thing you can do. You can go in and look at the IRS enforcement of taxes. And I said, you know, crack down on tax cheats. And, you know, your people have talked about, well, yeah, people have talked about, you know, going and changing the tax code, because you think about it, you got people coming to this country and a lot of people that are in the trades. Let's just face it. You know, if you have ever talked to somebody in a trade, like in a plumbing, heat and air, or, you know, somebody that does lawn work or, you know, does, I don't care what, they'll say, hey, you know, if you pay me this, if you pay me in cash, then the price is this. If you pay me by a check, then the price is this. And so you've got that issue right there.
Under the table.
Right. So if you look at national sales tax, you go, well, we don't have any kind of issue there, but everybody seems to beat that one down. You know, if we have a national sales tax, you may not need an income tax, because now it's based on consumption and you're not going to avoid consumption.
Consumption is a given.
You're going to be consuming, so therefore you're going to be paying taxes. You're not going to be able to sneak under the table. And then that's the idea behind that, the national sales tax. Now, I doubt that's going to happen, because nobody seems to really care a whole heck of a lot about it. But, you know, they're saying, hey, let's crack down on tax cheats and go after this. Well, what's going on here? Well, in essence, you don't have anybody or you have a much smaller group of people actually doing any kind of enforcement. And they just basically said here that, you know, it's not a trivial issue. One of the features of the big deal is a big increase in IRS enforcement to crack down tax cheats. And right now, you're dealing with the main retirement system in crisis. What could we do here? Best estimates in Washington are that tax cheats, known euphemistically as the tax gap, I love that, are evading about 16% of all federal tax money owed each year. Even after accounting for enforcement results, it still comes out to about 12%, or $1 for every $8 people are supposed to pay. I was like, wow, that's a really big number. These numbers relate to about 10 years ago, before the government slashed IRS enforcement staff by 36%. So in essence, you have less enforcement now. So therefore, the problem is even bigger than that, is what they're saying right here.
But I thought they are hiring a lot of IRS agents.
This is as of a couple of days ago, saying that the staff is still 36% lower.
Oh.
Literally still 36% lower. So you have to figure cheats are getting away with more today. Why does this matter? Well, it's simple math. If tax cheats are evading 12% of taxes they owe, and this year taxes are expected to be 18% of the GDP, and then by math, tax evasion works out to 2.2% of GDP, gross domestic product. That's the output of the country, right? The funding gap for Social Security under the trustees' mid-range forecast over the next 75 years, that will average about 1.7% of GDP. In other words, the entire whole of Social Security budget could, in theory, be paid for without cutting benefits, means testing them. That's, you know, basically saying, hey, wealthy people, you pay into it all your life and put lots of money in, and what we'll do is we'll make sure you don't get anything from it. Raising taxes. No sarcasm there. Raising taxes or raising the retirement age, but simply catching people cheating out of their taxes if we could find a way to do it. I don't know. We'll see. I think that probably what's going to happen is a little bit of all of the above. They're not going to, I think younger people may be given a good heads up that they're going to be having to save a little bit more for
increase to their instead own retirement. Of 67, be 70.
You know, that's very, very possible. I mean, it might be if you want full benefits, you go to 75. Because we know that 70 is the new 60, right?
Yeah. New 50. Yes, it's new 50.
I don't know about that. Uh-huh. All right. Okay, so IRS, few changes there, huh, Arlene?
Yeah, another reason to be happy.
Another reason, you can put more money in your 401k.
Yeah, $1,000 more.
But they didn't touch the catch-up provisions. I thought that was interesting. So you got $19,500 is what you can put in last year, this year, and next year, $20,500. Mm-hmm. And then you got $6,500. So you get a little bit more pocket change that you can put in your 401k in the coming year and get to increase that sum. Simple plans. I didn't notice they didn't talk about changing them at all. And they didn't talk about changing the catch-up provision on simple plans. Yeah. That's if you have, let's say you got a business and you're putting in money for your business. Savings instead of match for employees. Nice little acronym for simple. and set plans are going to be affected because of simply just the levels going up on that. I didn't see any data on that as far as how much can go in that, but I don't use SEPs that often. It just really depends on the person. A lot of times when you get people that have higher income, a lot of times they do end up having some employees and SEP plans don't work out so well.
The wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing is the phase out ranges, you know, a little bit increase in the phase out. You know, so some people have 401ks and they go, well, you know, I'm going to put some money in the 401k. And, you know, I'd like to also put money in an IRA when I'm, you know, I'm contributing, because maybe the 401k options aren't so great. So they want to put money in an IRA as well.
You mean Roth IRA?
Or regular IRA. Okay. You know, you got phase outs for either one of them. The phase outs for the regular IRA are lower. They're $68,000 to $78,000 for single taxpayers, what that's going to be going to. So a little bit of a bump in that. And then married, you know, is $109,000 to $129,000. So let's say that you got a 401k at work. And, you know, you want to go put some money in that. And you're going, these funds stink, so I'm going to only go up to the match. That's it. I'm going to do that. But I want to put some money in an IRA. Well, you go, doggone, I'm married, my income exceeds $129,000, then you can't deduct it anymore, and you might have to do the backdoor, you know, type of a thing if your income is really much higher, which is, you know, above $200,000. That number is going to $214,000. I'll come back to that in a second. I'm ADD, man. I got to go to that and jump all over the place. What's going on is that you can actually, let's say you're one of these people that does max out your 401k and you put everything that you can into a $20,500 and you want to go and put in money in an IRA. Then you want to also put the cash in that. Well, you can't deduct it, which is really the big benefit of IRAs. If your income is above $129,000, there's a $20,000 phase out. So, you know, if you're in right in the middle of it and you're a $119,000, you can deduct half your IRA contribution is how it works. Okay, so that's what that is. If you're single, it's $68,000 to $78,000. So, you know, it's a lower phase out where you can't put money into it. And then you've got regular Roth IRAs, which is I put money in after tax. It grows without tax. I can take out tax-free money later on. That has always had a bit of a higher contribution limit. And that's $214,000 is what that one is. So if you got a workplace plan and you're married to somebody who is covered by that workplace plan, you've got the other rules with regards to IRA. So you're married to a husband, let's say, has a 401k plan, and the spouse, the wife, doesn't have a 401k plan. And they want to put money into, or doesn't work, mm-hmm. wants to put money in an IRA. Well, they're precluded if their income is above $214,000, is the way it works. So you got to watch a lot of these little limits, because you can get. I had a situation where somebody made contributions. It was interesting. Made contributions after tax into the IRA. And a younger person made after tax, didn't think about the fact that they're going to have to track those after-tax contributions when they pull money out later on. So let's say that you made $10,000 in after-tax contributions. And then at retirement, you've got this account value of $500,000.
That's a lot.
So what happens is you've got 10,000 500,000ths, whatever that works out to mathematically, of every distribution should be tax-free. And if you think about it, after a while, it's ridiculous to even keep track of it. You got to file paperwork every single year to keep track of it as you do the distribution. So, but you know, if you're really, really, if your IRA is smaller down the road and you got 10,000 or 20 or even 30,000 that you contributed after tax and you got a $200,000 IRA, then you're starting to go, it makes sense to track this stuff because it may be 10% of every distribution fee because you'll be completely tax-free. And why pay taxes if I don't have to? Because I put the money in after tax, that's basis. Mm-hmm. And then when you pull the money back out later on and you have most of your money is taxable, but that money you put in with after-tax dollars shouldn't be taxable. And you got to track it. So it's a pain in the neck.
But why did he not do the Roth instead of the IRA?
I just didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Just didn't know. Yeah, uh-huh. That's it. Yeah, why not? Well, you know, sometimes, you know, when people, you know, do things and they go and make decisions on their own, and a lot of times they don't know the rules, and that's where it can get a little sticky. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. Uh-huh. Yeah, and it does. It gets really, really complicated, and, you know, you just have to know this. All these stupid, crazy rules. And, then, you know, taxation is Social Security and all that junk. It's just... It is constant that Congress will come out with new rules and new laws and new thresholds that just keep our job safe.
Yeah, that makes American life exciting.
And it keeps our job safe. Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. You can watch some of the videos there, and if you're not already a client, you can set up a free initial consultation. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., PWI, an investment advisor registered in the state of Tennessee. PWI does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation. This information is provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any securities.